And do I have with me on the line Rabbi Galperin?
Good morning, Elon.
Good morning. How are you?
Thank God, Baruch Hashem. And how are you?
I am fine. So you are talking from Michigan right now.
That's right. You know, with modern technology, we can do the interview from wherever you are in the world.
You are absolutely
right. I'm now in Michigan. I'm driving my kids to school. I'm not driving. I'm on the side of the road doing the interview, so no one get worried.
That's good. And safe.
But that's right. But I do a drive in the morning and in the afternoon, take my kids to school after we have the baby. So it's... But I wouldn't miss the interview if anything happens. So
that's
I'm happy
great.
We can do it.
That's great. So tell us about Parshat Shavua.
This week's Torah portion is Parshat Va'ira, which is in itself, I mean, a phenomenal Torah portion where it starts to explain and tell us about the plagues that God was going to give Pharaoh and the Egyptians for the fact that Pharaoh refuses to listen to Moses and Aaron in letting the Jews go, and Pharaoh's heart is hardened, and he doesn't let the Jews go. And because of him, really, all of Egypt suffered to the extent that they were going to get displaced. And it's very interesting because people, when it comes to change, people are very scared. You know, you might be sitting in your office or on the highway or on the road, and even sometimes even deep in thought and prayer, and it hits you that maybe some area of your life isn't working. So, at that moment of time, you resolve to do something better. So now that sounds good, except that the resolution doesn't materialize into actual behavior and nothing comes from it.
Yeah.
And the question is, why not? Why is change so difficult? And maybe it's because we're so smart at outsmarting ourselves. And if you go and look at the Exodus story, the whole Exodus saga is also a personal narrative when you feel sort of dissatisfaction with your personal status quo and can even sense an inclination, you know, a step forward to wanting to become towards self-betterment, to become something that's better. And that's easy to feel good about, you know, our honesty that we want to become better. That's very, very nice. You know, you give you a pat on the back and everything's good. But then nothing changes. Why? Because we really don't want change. And if you don't look, the ancient Jewish text describes this problem as a Pharaoh syndrome. Because the Exodus saga with the Jews seeking liberty, you know, from the enslaving of the Egyptians is really a personal narrative. It depicts our continuous struggle for freedom from our personal Egypt. Our fears, our character, flaws, and so on and so forth. So, and of course, the primary blockage to liberation is one person, it's Pharaoh. He, of the scripturally described people, is a hardened heart. And what does it mean to have a hard heart? Now, Pharaoh understood that his actions were self-destructive, and really not only for him, but bringing ruin upon his whole country. He even agreed, you know, to stop this madness, but he couldn't finalize it. He couldn't finalize the change. Why? Because his heart wouldn't allow his recognition to translate into behavior modification. He knew what had to be done, but he couldn't close the deal. He couldn't seal it. And this is really the internal Pharaoh stubbornly disregarding logical recognition as if to cling to really self-destructional behavior. And people might be thinking, what is this rabbi talking about? Do we recognize this person? Who is this person? That's not me. I always have change. And where did the salvation come from? It was Moses, of course, because Moses is described in our Torah, in our scriptures and tradition as a man of total commitment. Brilliant as he was, the smartest guy around, he didn't guide his life by intellect alone. He deeply felt a profound, super-rational relationship with God. And that's what guided his behavior. Now, the Moses method is a matter of selfless commitment. The most, phenomenal relationship, which is higher than any rationale. You know, think about it, with the love of a parent to a son, or a son to a parent. Is a parent's commitment to a child purely rational? Should a child's commitment to parents be purely logic-based? Absolutely not. Because it's not. It's something beyond rational. Now, mobilizing our inner Moses means selflessly committing ourselves to our highest image, the vision of who God created us each to be. Now, the Moses method is a matter of really selfless commitment, not logical calculation. And this cannot be challenged by the Pharaoh syndrome, which prevents the expression of our logical resolutions or things that we want to change.
Yeah.
So simply put, the Moses method is much deeper expression of self, and it's working on totally different wavelength. And really, here's the bottom line. Sometimes, life's richness is reached when we can step beyond the limitations of mind, following the soul's lead and expression, something beyond our intellect. So the next time we resolve to change our behavior, we should see it as a part of our commitment to God. See it as an exercise of our relationship with God and with the divine intellect as an expression of reason of existence. Then, if you look at it in that way, there's no such a thing, no excuse will block anything that we want to go to change. So the next time we want to change, let's think about it beyond our regular intellect and think about it more from the fact of our commitment to God. And that change will be a lot easier, because it will be hard for us to say no like a child to a son, or like a son to a child to a father. And that's something so unique, the differences between Pharaoh and Moses. And in our life, the fact that Pharaoh literally was going to ruin his whole country because he wasn't willing to take that one step of change. And that's something that we can learn in our life.
That's very nice. That's beautiful. Rabbi, tell us about services at Shaarei Shamayim / Tzedek.
So we have services Friday evening at 5 o'clock, and Shabbat morning we daven at 9:30, and obviously followed then by a kiddush, as well as Sunday morning we daven at 8:15 at the community minyan, and we have breakfast as well. And then we have Monday and Thursday, we have the community minyan in the parish house, which is at 7:15. It's a wonderful day to start off the day. So we hope to see everyone there. I want to wish everyone a peaceful and wonderful Shabbat.
That's great. Shabbat shalom.
Thank you, Ilan. We'll talk next week.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.